إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 15th session from the book Ta'zeem al-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And our topic, as it has been for the last few months, is the great importance, yani attaching great importance and recognizing and acknowledging the magnificence and the status of Salah in the life of a Muslim. And through this act of worship of Salah, yani we use it as a means of exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Azim. Last week, or I should say this week, our topic in this lecture is dealing with al-khushu', yani its meaning and its importance, and additionally something of yani reflections on some of the meanings of what we are doing and what we are saying in the Salah as a means of attaining Al-Khushu', and particularly tonight we like to talk about some of the meanings of Al-Fatiha. Before we begin our topic for tonight, we want to look back at what we discussed last week in lecture number 14 from the questionnaire study guide. And we would like to try as best as we can to quickly go through the questions that yani were placed for our review. Question number one, discuss why Salah is the pleasure and joy, Qurratu Uyun, of the believers in this world. Yani why is Salah the joy and pleasure of the believers in this world? Naam, Ibrahim.
It is the joy and pleasure of the believers in this world because they are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And in the Salah, they have a personal communion the Lord of the worlds, who there is no joy without Him, and they come close to Him in humbleness and strive to gain nearness to Him. So therefore, what it contains is nothing.
No. Yani, the believers, yani in Salah, they have the opportunity for personal, intimate communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this indeed has to be a joy and a pleasure and a source of comfort and happiness for one who has true iman. Yani communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one with whom, yani He is the only one through whom a person can have yani this comfort and rest and joy of the heart and the mind and the soul for the believing person. And in addition, there's an enjoyment and a pleasure in the remembrance of Allah and the dhikr of Allah and being near to Allah and being humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for all of these reasons, yani the Salah, if it is performed correctly, sincerely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the Sunnah, with the effort that is required, yani for this, yani to fulfill this right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it should become yani a source of joy and happiness and pleasure and comfort for a believer, especially the nearness to Allah. The second question, mentioned the position or condition in which the human being is nearest to one's Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention the position or condition. Naam, Abdul Malik. In sajda. Naam, in sajda. Does anybody remember any of the hadith that mentioned this particular point? Anybody remember any of the hadith? We mentioned a couple of hadith. Naam. Tafadhal. Huh? Yani specifically related to this point that yani a person is nearest to the Rabb. Naam. Naam. أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى ربه وهو ساجد. In some of the narrations, he said, فأكثروا الدعاء. As the brother mentioned, أكثروا من الدعاء. And like this, يعني that the nearest to the person will be to their Rabb is when they are performing sajda, prostration. And in some of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ said, therefore, be frequent or be plentiful. Make a lot of supplication while you are in this position. And this is a beautiful hadith, and it is incumbent upon us, yani, to reflect on it and then to act upon it as much as we can in the position of sajda. Yani, one should supplicate, yani, earnestly, sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3, memorize the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which prove that salah is a means of raha, rest and comfort for him. Naam, Abdullah. Naam. Naam. He said it's narrated by Al-Imam Ahmed in the Musnad and Abu Dawud in the Sunan that the Prophet ﷺ said to Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna bis salat. And in the actual narration Abu Dawud, he said, Ya Bilal, aqim as salat, arihna biha. And the meaning is the same. That's how the Shaykh narrated in the book, as the brother mentioned it, and that's how it came in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. And the meaning is the same. Yani, establish the prayer so that it will be a means of rest and comfort for us. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ found, in fact, in some of the narrations, in the Muslim of Imam Ahmed, there are several narrations, and it mentions that one of the companions of the Prophet, a man from Khuza'a, that he actually had made this statement. Yani, oh, I wish that I had prayed so that I would have found rest in the prayer. And the people, yani, they didn't agree with this statement. They didn't see how he is saying this. Rest is in prayer. People want rest from prayer. They want to get it over with so they can go about their business. And then he narrated that hadith. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying like this, O Bilal, establish the prayer so that we may find rest in it. Question number 4. Summarize the 6 matters which are the means of salah becoming the joy of one's eye and rest of one's heart. Yani, summarize meaning, just mention them, outline them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me one of them. Ya Ibrahim. Al-Ikhlas. And another one? Al-Sidq wa Nus. Naam, Musa. Huh? Al-Ihsan. Uh-huh. Naam. Al-Mutaba wal-Iqtida. Naam. And 2 more. Somebody. 2 more. Naam, Musa. Al-Minnah. And al-taqsir. Okay, what is the meaning of, yani, just in brief, al-ikhlas means what? I think everybody knows what's ikhlas, right? Sincerity, or doing something for Allah alone, not anyone sharing it within him. And al-sidq, it means truthfulness or sincerity, but again, the meaning here, it means, yani, being eager and diligent in the performance of what you are offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll discuss it in further detail as we go. And al-mutaba'a, al-iqtida, we mean what, in brief? Following, strictly following the Prophet, taking him as an example. And at ihsan, we mean what? Perfection, excellence, yani, doing it well, yani, worshipping Allah as though you see him. And al-minnah, we mean by this what? Recognizing that everything that we have of good is from Allah, everything, especially in the salat, especially because we're talking about salat, right? Recognizing that this salat that you're performing is by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the last one, taqsir, very, very, very important in our whole life, in salat, and everything that we do, is what? Realizing that we're falling short in fulfilling the right of Allah, especially His right of being worshipped, yani, alone and properly, yani, with excellence and perfection. And these 6 matters of great importance, there's no harm in reviewing them again and again and again, especially while you are, when you are preparing for salat. It is good that a person review this. Instead of coming to the masjid and having some social conversation about recreational entertainment or some other matters, the person who came to the masjid, their mind should be focused on what they came here for the salat. We should be engaged in preparation for salat. So a person could be reviewing these matters so that their heart and their mind and their soul is prepared to enter into the salat, as opposed to what we find on many occasions. And I'm saying this because it's what I experienced myself, so I'm sure that somebody else must be experiencing it. That a person comes and gets distracted with other things. And the iqamah is called and they enter the salat without any real preparation for salat. You just entered Allahu Akbar and you're in the salat. And this is not the way to enter the salat. This is too important. If you were doing anything else of importance, you prepare yourself for it. And you don't want any distractions. When you're about to engage in something of importance, you don't want people distracting you. You want to prepare for what you're about to do. What is more important than this? Communion with your Rabb. Question number 5. What is meant by the first mashhad, yani al-ikhlas, and some of what it entails and its opposite? And this question is a little bit difficult, but I mean, yani, let's try as best we can to, what is meant by al-ikhlas? What does it entail and what is its opposite? Now, what do we mean by al-ikhlas? Very important. Now, Rashid. Seeking Allah's pleasure. Naam. Doing something for the pleasure of Allah. Okay, what else? Naam. I don't know your name, Akhi, I'm sorry. Muhammad. Naam. Okay, trying to be in direct communion with Allah. Naam. Does anybody remember what the Shaykh said? The explanation that he gave, the definition that he gave? Naam. Close. Yani the thing that caused you to do this act of salat or worship is that it is the desire to seek the pleasure of Allah. And the opposite of that, and that you should not have, yani you should not be doing it for any desire for something of the dunya, anything of worldly affairs. Naam. Naam. Fear out of fear of Allah. Yani the person does is seeking the face of Allah out of fear of Allah and love of Allah and hope for Allah's punishment and His forgiveness. Now, Musa. Yani the Shaykh said in the end of it, yani that a person comes doing this, seeking the face of Allah out of love of Allah. They're doing it out of love of Allah and out of fear of His punishment and out of hope for His forgiveness and His reward. This is very important. That a person does this, yani, that they're doing it because they have a desire to, yani, have that which is with Allah. Because of their love of Allah. Naam. Because they want to be near to Allah. They want to seek Allah's love and approval of them. Naam. Tayyib. After this, discuss what is meant by the outward, zahir and inner batin aspects of the salat in the mashhad of as-sidq. What is meant by the outward and inner aspects of the salat? Naam, Abdullah. Okay, the outward aspect of the salat, naam, the zahir is like the movements that are seen, and he said takbirat, mean what? The things that are heard. Yani, the aqwal that are masmu'ah, the things that are said in the salat that are heard, and the actions that a person does that's seen in the salat. This is the outward. And this we talked about previously, yani in detail in these classes. But the inner part is what we're going to start talking about tonight. And the inner part is what? Al-khushu'ah. And what else? Al-muraqabah. And? Huh? Tafriq, emptying the heart of everything other than Allah, the one who you're standing before. And in addition to emptying the heart, what? Al-iqbal, yani exerting every effort to the best of your ability in your going towards Allah, and you're going forward to Allah, and seeking nearness to Allah. Naam. And this is extremely important. The inward side of the salat. Question number 7, mention the third mashhad and what is required of the worshipper in order to achieve it in one salat. What is the third mashhad? Naam. 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 So the third mashhad is what? What is it called in Arabic? Al-mutaba'a and al-iqtida'a. And he said that it means what? That a person takes the Prophet ﷺ as the example in their salat, so that they pray the way he prayed. As he said, pray as you have seen me praying. يعني صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. And also, it requires of the person to be eager and diligent in exerting themselves to take the Prophet ﷺ as an example, to make sure they are following in everything that he said and he did in the way that he did it. And most importantly, as we will see tonight, with al-khushu' al-muraqaba and the salat and ihsan. And that we avoid whatever the people have invented, whatever they have added to the salah, and whatever they have taken away from the salah, and whatever that the practices that the people have, they have no basis in the sunnah, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor from even any one of his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the question number 8, mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which explains what is required in the fourth mashhad, yani al-ihsan. What is يعني required? What is the hadith that shows us what is required?
The hadith of Jibreel.
يعني the part of the hadith is what? Where he said, what is al-ihsan? Tell me, أخبرني عن الإحسان. What is al-ihsan? تفضل يا أخي عبد الله. Both of you are عبد الله. طيب تفضل. Meaning, to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. Naam. And if you cannot see Him, and if you cannot reach that level of worshiping Allah as though you're seeing Him, that your heart, yani your iman, the completion and the perfection of your iman in Allah and in His names and His sifat, is so complete and perfect that it's as though your heart, yani by the heart, you're seeing Allah. If you can't reach that level, then at least worship Allah in the way that you know, you're aware, you're conscious. Yani muraqabah, you are conscious yourself of your action and your speech and your behavior and your thoughts and your condition of your heart. You are conscious of the fact that Allah is seeing you, that Allah is hearing you, that Allah is yani observing. Now, that a person has this kind of consciousness. This is extremely important. And the Shaykh, he said that this ihsan, yani wa muraqabah, he said that this is the asl. Yani it is the foundation, the source of all the deeds of the heart. The person who has this ihsan, this is what will cause them to love Allah and to fear Allah and to put their trust in Allah and so on. All of this is from what? The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ihsan, consciousness of Allah being in front of you, that you see Him, or at least knowing that He sees you. And this comes from what? The completion or the perfection of a person's iman in Allah and His names and His sifat. And this is why it's so important, as we said some months ago, to study carefully and to reflect upon and to ponder over the names of Allah, to know the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah and to ponder over them. This actually affects the condition of the person's heart and their soul and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what develops al-ihsan. Yani question number 9, memorize the ayah from Surah Al-Hujurat 49:17, which reminds us that it is Allah who has favored us in guiding us to Islam. Naam. Fadhu.
Yamunnuna alayka an aslamu. Qul la tamunnu alayya islamakum. Balillahu yamunnu alaykum an hadakum lil iman in kuntum sadiqin.
Naam. Meaning?
They regard it as a favor.
They regard it as a favor. Yani they consider they have done you a favor. Speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have done you a favor in them surrendering in Islam.
Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them that you have conferred no favor upon me in you accepting Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with a favor that guiding you to Iman.
Naam.
If you are true.
Naam. So this is very, very important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell them that you haven't done me any favor, and you haven't done the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a favor. Rather, it is Allah who has conferred His favor upon you and guiding you to iman. If you are truthful, if you are truthful, the favor has been done to you, and this is critically important for a believer in the salat to recognize that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has favored you and bringing you to this position to be in the salat. and has favored you in putting your heart and your body at your service in order for you to fulfill this obligation. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made you fit to be standing before Him. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given you the tawfiq to be able to do this. You have to recognize that. This is a favor from Allah. You are not doing a favor to the people, to the imam, to the community, to your family, to anybody, to the Muslims. Rather, your being in salah is a favor from Allah upon you. And when you are praying, you should be thinking about that. Allah has favored me. The rest of the people out in the streets, the Muslims and the kuffar and the mushrikeen and all of them, they're on the streets. Or they're watching movies or television, or listening to music, or doing whatever they're doing. While some people who Allah has favored, they're in the masjid in salat. Or the women, they may be in their homes in salat. That's a favor, tremendous favor and a bounty and a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed upon and conferred upon the believers. And question number 10 mentions the sixth mashhad and what it requires of every abd, sincere worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the sixth mashhad? Naam. At-taqsir. Naam. Yani to recognize, to acknowledge, to be aware that you have fallen short in fulfilling the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him. To recognize, to be aware, to be conscious, to remind yourself that no matter how hard you have tried, whatever effort you have done, the best you can, you still have fallen short. You have to acknowledge this. You have to know this and be certain about it and not imagine that you have done well. Rather, you have fallen short. Allah deserves more than that. Allah's greatness and His majesty and His glory deserves that He be worshipped in a better manner than that. Far above what we are able to do. No matter what effort that we have made, we have fallen short. To recognize this, to acknowledge this, and to accept it as a reality. Which leaves us with, to what? What to do? Seek forgiveness of Allah. Al-istighfar. And al-i'tidar. And to acknowledge, yani, to confess to your shortcoming. To confess that you have what? That you have fallen short. That you have been neglectful. That you have not fulfilled the right of Allah in the manner that it is due to Him. Naam. Nadam. Naam. I mean, it could be included in that. But, I mean, you know, the way, what the Shaykh, we're looking at, yani, what he said, the way he explained it, of course, there should be nadam. There's no doubt. Yani, person has sinned, they have fallen short, they have, yani, neglected the right of Allah, there should be nadam. How could it not be? Yani, what do you mean by nadam? Remorse, regret. Naam. You feel bad about it. You should. Naam. That means, when you feel, you have nadam, it means that if the person has iman, it will motivate them to try to do better. And that's what's required, to try to do better. Not to accept that what we have done well and it's good. And you know, we have some right now in front of Allah. Rather, we have fallen short. And the last question, mention the four things which are the fundamentals which enable a worshipper to achieve all of the above. What are those four things? One. Naam. One. Niyya sahiha. Yani sincere, truthful intention. Naam. Two. High level of ambition. High level of ambition. To be ambitious, yani, in, yani, trying to do whatever of good you're trying to do. And two other things to go with them. Naam, Musa. Desire. Raghba and fear. Yani, naam, fear of falling short or not, yani, fulfilling Allah's rights. Yani, fear of Allah's punishment. Fear of losing His favor. Naam. Raghba and rahba. Yani, the Shaykh, he said that, yani, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, the Shaykh is quoting from him, he said that these four things are the source of any defect that we have in our iman, in our condition, in our situation, whatever it is, inwardly or outwardly, it comes from falling short in these four matters or in some of them. Yani, sincerity, sincere intention, high ambition. Yani, you should be ambitious. Like a person who wants to become a millionaire or a billionaire, a person who wants to become the president or the leader or the ruler, or the person who wants to become great, somebody famous or whatever, they have high ambition and they devote their life to seeking whatever that is that they want to achieve. That ambition is nothing in comparison to the ambition of the one who wants to serve Allah, to please Allah, to earn His reward in His Jannah. This is the kind of ambition that we should have. But sometimes we find that we are lazy. We are neglectful. And it's like we are very lackadaisical in this matter. We're just doing it, yani. We're just doing it. Where's the ambition, the high ambition that is required for the person to really be successful in doing that which يعني we are required to do what is obligatory upon us. This is what we covered last week, or this is some of it anyway. And tonight, Allahu Musta'an. The chapter that we want to discuss tonight is a long chapter. It's very long. And yani we won't be able to cover it tonight, or maybe even in the next session, but we'll do as much as we can. This is our 15th lecture and 15th chapter, but it's a long chapter. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the mu'minun, the believers. Allah is describing the mu'minun in the 23rd surah of the Quran, in the first 1 through 11, first 11 ayat. Allah has given some descriptions of the believers, and the Shaykh, he's taking this as the title of this chapter, and the beginning of this chapter is pretty much a quote with some slight modification from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di of these ayats from Surah al-Mu'mineen. And the rest of it is from Ibn al-Qayyim, from one of the books of Ibn al-Qayyim, Kitab al-Salat. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, هَذَا تَنْوِيهٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِذِكْرِ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَذِكْرِ فَلَاحِهِمْ وَسَعَادَتِهِمْ وَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ وَصَلُوا إِلَى ذَلِكَ This is from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di. Yani from these ayats. The Shaykh, he begins the explanation of this surah with this statement, that this is a tribute or a praise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning His believing servants, His believing worshippers, and mentioning their success and their good fortune. Yani their success in worshipping Him and their good fortune, yani the reward that He has in store for them in the next life. وَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ وَصَلُوا إِلَى ذَلِكَ And through what means did they reach this position of success and good fortune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through what? What are the means to it? And this is, yani the first 11 ayahs of this surah talk about this. The Shaykh says, وَفِي ضِمْنِ ذَلِكَ الْحَثُّ عَلَى الْإِتِّصَافِ بِصِفَاتِهِمْ وَفِي مُقَدِّمَاتِ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ الْخُشُوعِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ Within these words of praise of the believers, and in the mention of the means through which they reach this position of success and good fortune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within this, yani implied within it, is an encouragement. Yani Allah is mentioning these words. Yani Allah began the surah, what? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Indeed, definitely, the believers, they have been successful. They have achieved success. Naam, the believers. And then he begins to describe what are the characteristics of these believers. So the Shaykh is saying that within these words, there's the implied encouragement to be described with these characteristics that Allah describes these believers who are successful. He describes them with characteristics, with sifat. So there's an encouragement in the mention of this, and Allah praising them in this manner. There's an encouragement that we be described, that we take on these characteristics. And in the beginning, in the forefront of these characteristics, the first one that he mentions after the first ayat of Iman, he mentions Al-Khushu' fi Salat. Yani, they are those who الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ In their salat, they have khushu' in their salat. This is from the greatest of characteristics of the believers that guarantee their success. Al-Khushu' fi Salat. I mean, this is something that every one of us, brother and sister, young and old, every Muslim has to consider of the utmost importance that you achieve, that you work at, strive constantly against your lower self to achieve al-khushu' in the salat. If that's not a goal, yani a high priority goal in your life, then really you're just going through life like an animal, like a cattle, like the cattle. You don't have any real objective. If you're not trying to get near to Allah and achieve the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah through the salat, but not just coming to the salat in jama'ah and coming early at the first takbir and performing every bowing and prostrating and standing and all of that with tuma'anina. Not only that, but rather inside, what's happening inside the heart and the mind and the soul. Does the person have this state of khushu' of humility and submissiveness and awe and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So from the first of those characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is al-khushu' in the salat. And the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ حُدُورَ الْقَلْبِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى That al-khushu' in the salat is it is hudur al-qalb bayna yaday Allah ta'ala. Yani it is the presence of heart and mind being aware that you are standing in front of Allah the Most High. Presence of heart and mind, being aware that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. Mustahdiran liqurbihi. Yani consciously, being consciously aware, calling to your mind the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That while you're standing in salah, calling to mind the fact that Allah is near to you. Naam, while you're in salah, especially in sujood, but in the salat generally speaking. فَيَسْكُنْ لِذَلِكَ قَلْبُهُ وَتَطْمَئِنُّ نَفْسُهُ وَتَسْكُنُ حَرَكَاتُهُ وَيَقِلُّ إِلْتِفَاتُهُ. So for this reason, yani, the presence of heart and mind, the consciousness that you're standing in front of Allah and the nearness of Allah, cause the heart to be calm and the soul to be tranquil and the movements, yani unnecessary movements, to cease or to be, yani, yani to cease, naam. And the iltifat, yani turning back and forth, distractions to diminish. The distractions are diminished when a person has this state of mind, this khushura. Yani this is something to achieve, wallahi. The people before us, we know from amongst the commands of the Prophet ﷺ, achieved this state of khushura to such an extent that a person was, Umar ibn Khattab was stabbed, and it didn't affect his salat. And another person was shot with an arrow, and people, things happen to them, they're still praying. What kind of khushu is that? Like, it's almost, I mean, wallahi, it's true. But to us, it's like, it's not possible. Nah, but it is possible for whoever Allah makes it easy for. So the person is conscious of heart and mind, and consciousness of the nearness to Allah. Muta'addiban bayna yaday rabbihi. Yani, observing good manners in front of his Rabb. Observing the manners, yani the manners that a child is expected to observe in front of their parents, the manners that a person is expected to observe in front of their leader or some important person. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْعَالَى. And Allah has the right to the highest description that's above any of these kinds of examples. But we make the example what for a person to be conscious that there is a certain adab, a manner of behavior that is expected from a human being in front of some human beings. What about in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person enters salat, they have to be mu'addab. Yani, well-mannered, standing in front of the Rabb. مُسْتَحْضِرًا جَمِيعْ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَيَفْعَلُهُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. Yani, being fully conscious of everything that he says and everything that he does in his salat. Yani, as Shaykh, one of the sheikhs said, and he said, being conscious of where your hands are at. I think I said that before. Wallahi, be conscious of where your hands are at. Where are your hands? Are they properly placed? Is the person placing their hands on the ground like they're doing fingertip push-ups? Or their fingers spread when they're supposed to be close? Or they pointed in the wrong direction? Or is your arm down on the ground when it should be propped up? Yani, where's your hand at? Where's your head at? Where's your, how is your back, your arms, your legs, your forehead, your nose in prostration? The person should be aware of this. Where are your feet? Are your heels together when you're in sajda? Is your body spread out? Or are you just balled up? Like some of the madhab teach the women to pray. This has nothing to do with the sunnah. There's no difference between the prayer of the man and the woman in Islam unless there's a proof for it where it has been legislated that there's something different between them. Like it's better for the women to pray at home, and the women should pray in the back and not in the front. And the first line is the best for the men and the last line is the best for the women. Something like this is legislated. As far as the actual performance of the prayer, what's the difference? Now, being conscious of everything that he says and that he does, min awwal salatihi ila akhirihi, from the beginning of it to the end, from the first takbir to the taslim, being conscious and aware of everything that you're saying and what you're doing from the beginning to the end. This is the effort that a person has to strive. Yani in Shajaratul Iman, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions something similar to this description of al-khushu' fi salat, but he mentions yujahid nafsa, that a person strives against their nafs, so that it's not out of control, but it's under control. That you're not thinking about other things. As we said, tafriq al-qalb. Yani emptying the heart from everything other than Allah. And then yani making every effort to the best of your ability to get near to Allah, and you're going forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. So in this way, the whispering of shaitan yani is negated, is nullified, and the yani the low, despicable thoughts from within yourself are also reduced or eliminated because of what? Consciousness of standing in front of Allah and His nearness, and that the proper adab that you should have when you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahada, and the Shaykh says, Yani Wahada Ruh as Salah wa lubbuha wa maqsoodu minha. And this is the spirit of the, or the soul, the spirit of the salah. Yani this is the essence of the salah. Yani this khushu', this presence of heart and mind and consciousness of nearness of Allah. This is the spirit of the salat. And this is the core of the salat. And this is what is intended, the objective of the salat. That a person be in this state of khushu'. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُقْتَبُ لِلْعَبْدِ. And this is what will be written for the worshipper. Yani that the person has khushu'. Otherwise, as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, the sahih, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَنْصَرِفُ وَمَا قُتِبَ لَهُ إِلَّا Ushru salatihi, that a person will leave from his salat and nothing will be written for him except 1/10 of his salat, or tusuha, or 1/9 of it, or 1/8 of it, or 1/7 of it, or 1/6 of it, or 1/5 of it, or 1/4 of it, or 1/3 of it, or half of it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Yani not much may be written, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, inna rajul yani la yusalli 60 sana. 16 a sana. That there is a person who may pray for 60 years and not even one salat was recorded or written or accepted from him. And this is because of the manner in which he performed the prayer. This is important. This is the ruh, the spirit of the salat. This is the core of the salat. This is what is intended, the maqsood, and this is what will be written for the worshipper. فالصلاه التي لا خشوع فيها ولا حضور قلب كَالْجَسَدِ الَّذِي لَا رُوحْ فِيهِ. So the salat which doesn't have khushu', yani is not performed with khushu', and which doesn't have, a person doesn't perform it with presence of heart and mind, that salat is like the body that doesn't have a soul in it. It's like a dead body that the soul has been removed. Is it worth anything? Naam. And this is yani the essence or the core, with some slight modification of what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, except the last name it is not from the tafsir. The Shaykh has mentioned this here. And then he goes on to quote from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, وَهَاهُنَا عَجِيبَةٌ مِّنْ عَجَابِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ تُحَقِّقُ الْخُشُوعَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَلَا تَحْصُلْ إِلَّا لِمَنْ تَفَقَّهَ قَلْبُهُ فِي مَعَانِي الْقُرْآنِ وَخَالَطَ بَشَاشَةَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهَا قَلْبَهُ بِحَيْثُ يرى لكل اسم وصفة موضعا من صلاته ومحلا منها. And the Shaykh says, here is an amazing matter from the amazing matters of Asma wa Sifat. Ajibatun, something ajib, amazing, through which a person can achieve or realize al-khushu' in the salat. And this khushu' in the salat will never be achieved except for the one who applies, devotes his heart to understanding the meanings of the Qur'an. The person who devotes theirself, this is not a passing yani desire, this is something you are devoted to, you apply, the heart is applied to what? Understanding the meanings of the Qur'an, such that the halawa, or the yani bashashat al-iman, the sweetness of iman, touches through understanding these meanings of the Qur'an, touches the heart. Yani the heart is touched with the sweetness of iman. Bashashatul iman or halawatul iman. The heart is affected by the sweetness of iman, of believing in these meanings that the person is reflecting upon or pondering over when one is reciting the Qur'an or listening to it being recited. This will not be achieved except for the person who applies themselves to this, to understanding the meanings of the Qur'an, such that the iman in these meanings, yani, the sweetness of this touches the heart of that person, so that he or she sees for every name of Allah and for every characteristic, sifa or quality of Allah, there's a position and there's a rank in his salat for every one of those names. It has a place, it has a position, it has a mahal, yani an appropriate place for it in the salat. Yani the takbir in the beginning of the salat, it has a place, it has a position, it has a rank, it has a purpose, it has an objective, there's a meaning behind it. It cannot be replaced with any other word. Allahu Akbar. And everything that's said in the salat, and every ayah, and every name of Allah, in Al-Fatiha or in any other ayah from the Quran, it all has a place and a rank and a position. And a person has to begin to understand this. So that the person who applies himself to understanding this, it is through this that the person achieves Al-Khushu'a, and they achieve, yani, they experience the sweetness of Iman in their salat. نعم. After this, the Shaykh says, so if the person stands up, قائماً بين يدي الرب, if a person stands up in front of his Rabb, تبارك وتعالى, شاهد بقلبه قيوميته, the person should witness, acknowledge, identify, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qayyumiyyah, yani that he is al-qayyum, al-hayyul qayyum, as he says in al-Fatiha, al-hayyul qayyum, the one who has perfect life, and the one who, al-qayyum, who is self-sufficient, maintaining himself, and everything in the creation is maintained by him. Yani he is the one who doesn't have any need of anyone else, but everything in the creation is in need of him. When the person stands up in salat, then they should witness that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is maintaining their existence and allowing them to be in this position. And if he says Allahu Akbar, then he should witness, recognize and acknowledge kibriya'ahu, yani the greatness and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he says Allahu Akbar, he should recognize Allah's greatness, his magnificence. And if he says Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruka, as it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person says this, shahada biqalbihi rabban munazzahan an kulli ib, saliman min kulli naqs, mahmudan bikulli hamd, then the person should witness, recognize and experience with his heart a Rabb, yani Subhanaka, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Subhanaka, yani you, O Allah, are the one who is free from imperfections. To declare Allah's perfection. Subhanaka Allahumma, O Allah, wa bihamdik, and the one who is worthy of all praise. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ, yani, and blessed is your name. Yani, there's barakah in Allah's name, in the mention of Allah's name. وَتَعَالَ جَدُّكَ, and exalted, yani, raised high is your majesty. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, and there's nothing deserving of worship except you. So the person witnesses by his heart a Rabb that is declared to be free from every defect. سَالِمًا مِنْ كُلِّ نَقْص, yani, safe and free from every shortcoming. This is the meaning of Subhanaka. That Allah is what? Is declared to be free from every defect and free from every shortcoming. Wa bihamdika, and he is mahmudan bikulli hamd. He is the one that's worthy to be praised with every word of praise. Fahamduhu yatadammanu wasfuhu bikulli kamalin. Indeed, the praise of him implies, entails, contains within it a description of him with every description of perfection. Yani the praise of Allah, alhamd, yani belonging to Allah, it implies Him being described with every description of perfection. وَذَلِكَ يَسْتَلْزَمْ بَرَاءَتَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ. And this necessitates, yani Him being described with every description of perfection by praising Him, it necessitates Him being free from every shortcoming. And when we say وَبِحَمْدِكَ or Alhamdulillah, it is like, it is as though we are saying Allah, He deserves to be praised because of His perfection. Because of every characteristic of perfection, which necessitates that He is free from any type of defect or shortcoming. These meanings require a person to reflect, yani that they be reflected upon. When somebody says, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, yani the declaration of Allah being free from any imperfection or shortcoming. And Allah being described with every description of perfection of praise. This requires reflection. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُهُ يعني, and blessed is His name, means that it is not mentioned over that which is little, except that it increases it and makes it much. And it is not mentioned over any khayr, except that it causes to grow and increase in khayr. And it is not mentioned over anything that is harmful or evil, except that it causes it to go away. The name of Allah. And it is not mentioned upon any shaitan, except that it causes him to be rejected, driven away, defeated. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ. And blessed is your name. Use the name of Allah. Mention the name of Allah. وَتَعَالَ جَدُّكَ. It means ارتفعت عظمته وجلت فوق كل عظمة وعلى شأنه على كل شأن وَقَهْرَ سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلْطَانٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His greatness and His majesty and His glory is raised high. It is, yani, it is manifested above every greatness. It is high. Yani, His rank is high. His affair is high above every other affair or the rank of anyone or anything else. And His sultan, His authority, yani, overcomes, conquers, vanquishes every authority, every sultan. فَتَعَالَ جَدُّهُ, yani the meaning of it is, فَتَعَالَ جَدُّهُ, it means that ta'ala, that His majesty is high above and far removed from there being any possibility of Him having a partner in His kingdom, or in His rububiyya, in His lordship, or in His ilahiyya, His divinity, right to be worshipped, or in His actions, or in His characteristics, or descriptions, or qualities. Yani, wa ta'ala jadduka means that the majesty, the greatness, the glory of Allah is so high that it is far above and far removed from any possibility of Him having any partner or anyone that shares with Him in His kingdom, or in His lordship, or in His divinity, or in His actions, or in His characteristics or qualities. Wa idha qala a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Or if the shaykh, he said, yani this is how he said it, and if the person says, I seek refuge in Allah from the rejected shaitan, فَقَدْ آوَى إِلَى رُكْنِهِ الشَّدِيدِ. If a person says this, I seek refuge in Allah from the rejected shaitan, then that person has indeed sought refuge or shelter in his most powerful support, yani that is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاَتَّصَمَ بِحَوْلِهِ وَقُوَّتِهِ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَقْطَعَهُ عَنْ رَبِّهِ وَيُبَعِدَهُ عَنْ قُرْبِهِ. And he has taken hold of, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani he has taken hold of, yani help and support from Allah's power and Allah's strength against his enemy, yani shaitan, who intends or desires to cut him off from his Rabb and to remove him and distance him from being near to him. And this is very important in the salat, when a person opens the prayer and they say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim minash shaitan rajim, min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthi. They should be remembering that the one you're seeking refuge in is your greatest support, the greatest power that you can seek refuge in from your enemy who's trying to cut you off from your Rabb and trying to distance you from being near to him. So when you recite this dua, you should recite it with presence of heart and mind and hope. And hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will protect you. Because if Allah doesn't protect you, you have no escape from shaitan. وإذا قال الحمد لله رب العالمين. يعني so if in الفاتحة when a person says الحمد لله رب العالمين then that person وقف هنيهة يسيرة. That person should pause for a brief moment. You should pause. Don't be hasty in the recitation of the Quran, especially in the recitation of Al-Fatiha. When you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Al-Imam Al-Muqayyim Rahimahullah said, then you're supposed to pause slightly and wait for the answer from your Rabb to you with his saying, Hamidani Abdi. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Hadith Qudsi that he has divided the Salah between himself and his servant in two parts, nisfain, and that my servant will have that which he sa'ala, what he asks or requests. So when he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. So wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to you. You are, this prayer is being divided into half, meaning Al-Fatiha. So when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah is going to speak back to you. He's going to acknowledge you and recognize you and say, my servant, Abdi, my servant, my worshipper has praised me. And when the worshipper says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then wait for the answer to his statement, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Athna alayya Abdi, my servant, my worshipper has extolled me or commended me. وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and when he says, yani the worshipper says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the king, the master of the day of judgment, then wait for his answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to him, يُمَجِّدُنِي, يُمَجِّدُنِي عَبْدِي, or as it came actually in all of the narrations that I am aware of, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي, that my servant has glorified me. Or glorified my majesty. Naam. The majesty of the king. Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, oh, what a delight to his heart and a joy to his eyes and a happiness to his soul by the saying of his Rabb, Abdi. By the saying of his Rabb, describing him, the heart of the believer, knowing that his Rabb is describing him as Abdi, my worshipper, ثلاث مرات, three times. فَوَاللَّهِ, if it was not for the fumes that have covered the hearts, yani the fumes of shahawat, desires, and the clouds that have covered the souls, that soul would have been flying, would have been caused to fly out of joy and happiness from the saying of his Rabb and his Creator and the one that deserves to be worshipped, Hamidani Abdi, Athna Alayya Abdi, Majjadani Abdi. Yani, if it wasn't for the smoke or the fumes of desires and the clouds over the souls of the human being, that soul would be flying, would be caused to fly from the joy and happiness of knowing that our Rabb has recognized us, saying that one of us has praised him or glorified him or extolled him. The Shaykh says, يعني الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, ثم يكون لقلبه مجال في شهود هذه الأسماء الثلاثة التي هي أصول الإيمان الحسنى وهي الله الرب الرحمن. Here, the person, the heart of the person has some opportunity, some room for witnessing, experiencing, reflecting upon these three names which came in the beginning of Al-Fatiha, which are the usul of the Asma Al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah. The foundation of the beautiful names of Allah are these three names, Allah, Ar-Rabb, and Ar-Rahman. So his heart witnesses from the mention of the name Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Ilahan, معبودا موحدا مخوفا لا يستحق العبادة غيره ولا تنبغي إلا له قد عنت له الوجوه وخضعت له الموجودات وخشعت له الأصوات. يعني the heart of the human being should witness, يعني with the mention of the name Allah تبارك وتعالى, an ilah that is worshipped alone, singled out for worship, that is to be feared. The one who there's no one deserving of worship except him, and it is not befitting or proper that it be given to anyone other than him. And the faces or the people have been humbled before him. Naam. And everything in existence has bowed in obedience to him and in submission to him. The voices are in submission to him, meaning that everything in the creation is praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the neglectful and unmindful of the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 44th Ayat, نُصَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. Yani that everything in the seven heavens and the earth and whoever or all that is in them is declaring Allah's tasbih, yani His perfection, His being free of imperfection. وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. And there's nothing in existence, yani from amongst the created beings, other than, as we said, yani those kuffar and mushrikeen and the neglectful from the Muslims. There's nothing except that it is declaring His perfection through His praise. Yani declaring Him to be free of imperfection by praising Him. Because the praise, the hamd of Allah, contains within it, yani implies His perfection, implies Him being free from any imperfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Rum, 30th Surah, 26th Ayat, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. And everything that is in the heavens and the earth belong to Him. Everything is in obedience. Everyone is in obedience to Him. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the meanings that one should witness, reflect upon, and experience with the mention of His name, Rabbul Alameen, قَيُّومًا قَامَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَقَامَ بِهِ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. Yani the one that is self-sufficient, qayyum, who maintains himself by himself without need of anyone or anything else. And everything else in existence is dependent upon his maintenance of them. So he is the one who, yani for every soul, he is the one who determines its khair and its shar, its good and its evil. While he is having ascended above his throne. And he is singled out, yani alone, by himself, in the control and managing of his kingdom, his sovereignty. All of it, the control and management of the whole affairs in his two hands. And every affair returns to him. And his commands and decisions from what he has decided in his control and management of the universe descends from His presence upon the hands of the angels, upon the hands of His angels, every decision that He makes in His kingdom, from whether it is giving or withholding, whether it is bringing someone down or raising up, or giving life or causing death, or placing someone in authority or removing them from authority, or seizing or constricting or extending or removing the anxiety and worry, or granting relief to those who are troubled, or answering those who are distressed. All of this is from the tadbir, the control and management of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions here from Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 55, yani Surah 55, Ayah 29, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Yani that whoever or whatever and everything that is in the heavens and the earth is asking Him, begging Him for their needs. And every day He is, yani is attending to the affairs of His creation. There is no one or there is nothing that can withhold that which He gives. And there is no one who can give that which He withholds. And there's no one who can second guess or come behind His judgment to change it, nor anyone who can reject His command, nor change His words. The angels and the spirit, yani Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend up to Him. And the actions from the beginning of the day and the end of the day are displayed before Him. Yani at the changing of the angels in the morning and in the evening. And He is the one who decrees all affairs and fixes their appointed times. And then He causes those things to happen at the fixed times. He is the one who is completely responsible in maintaining the control and management of all of this and protecting and preserving and protecting it and preserving its well-being or that which is in its interests. Yani the Rabbul Alameen. Naam. Allahumma musta'an. Then, yani, the third of these names, the Shaykh Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, then the person witnesses, recognizes, acknowledges, and reflects upon the name Ar-Rahman at the time of its mention. He witnesses what? A Rabb that is muhsinan ila khalqihi bi anwa al-ihsan. A Rabb that is muhsin, and who is good in giving and doing good towards His created beings with all types of ihsan, all types of goodness. Mutahabbiban ilayhim bi sunuf al-ni'am. He is the one who is endeared to them by the various types of blessings and bounties that He gives them. And His rahmah, His mercy and His knowledge encompasses everything. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has bestowed His bounties and His favors upon all of His creation. And He caused it to reach all of His creation. His rahmah extends or encompasses everything in the creation. And His bounties and His favors also are extended to and encompass every living being. In fact, His mercy extends to such an extent, to the extent of His knowledge. And there's no end to Allah's knowledge. So He ascended above His throne based upon His rahmah. Yani, it is by the rahmah of Allah that He ascended upon His throne. And He created the creation by His rahmah. And He revealed the books of revelation by His rahmah. Yani the rahmah of Allah ar-Rahman. And He sent the messengers based upon His rahmah. And He legislated the laws based upon His rahmah. And He created the Jannah based upon His rahmah. And as well the Nar, created it based upon His rahmah. For indeed, the hellfire, it is the whip which Allah uses to urge on His believing worshippers to the Jannah. Na'am, out of fear of it. And it is the means of purification for the filth and dirt of the Muwahideen, the people of Tawheed. But they have committed sins. Yani the hellfire is the means of purification before they enter the Jannah. And it is the prison in which He imprisons His enemies from amongst His creatures. So reflect upon His command and His prohibition and His injunctions and His warnings that all of this is from His far-reaching rahmah and His abundant bounty or favors. And even in the secondary creatures, yani that which fills the creation. Yani, it is also from His rahmah and His ni'mah. So the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the rope that connects Him to His worshippers. Just as the ubudiyyah, the worshipping of His creatures, is the rope that connects Him to them. Yani the rahmah is the rope that's extended from Allah to His worshippers, and the ubudiyyah, the worship, is the rope that connects the worshippers to Allah. So from the creatures there's the ubudiyyah, and from Allah to them is His rahmah. And the Shaykh, and perhaps we may stop here, or close to this, maybe a little bit more. Yani the Shaykh, he ends this point here, the name Ar-Rahman. He said, from the most special, more specific things that are witnessed or the scenes that are experienced by the person in Salat from this name, Ar-Rahman, is the witnessing of the praying person of one's personal portion of the Rahmah of Allah through which you are caused to stand before your Rabb. And it is from the Rahmah of Allah that you have been caused to stand in Salat, and that you have been made fit for the worship of Allah and for intimate communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from the Rahmah of Allah, it is your personal portion of the Rahmah of Allah, that He has given this to you and He has held it back from other than you. That He has caused your heart to come forward and He has turned the heart of other than you away. All of this is from His Rahmah upon you. And finally, this last ayat, the Shaykh says, when he says, Maliki Yawm al-Din, then one should witness the Majd, yani the majesty, the glory of this Malik, yani the King, the Master. One witnesses the Majd, which is not befitting for anyone other than the Malik al-Haqq al-Mubeen, the clear, true, real King. Yani this Majd that's mentioned in Maliki Yawm al-Din, the Master or the King of the Day of Judgment, it is a majesty that is befitting only of the true King, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person witnesses, when they say this Maliki Yawm al-Din, they witness Malikan Qahiran, an irresistible King that the whole of the creation is indebted to, and all of the people have been humbled before and brought low in front of His greatness and His majesty. Yani the oppressors or the tyrants are brought low in front of His greatness and His majesty, and every mighty one or every mighty thing is also in submission to His might. So the person witnesses with their heart a King that is upon the throne of the heavens, a guardian, a master guardian and protector. All of the faces, yani the human beings, are humbled at His might and His majesty and prostrate to Him. So if a person does not negate or nullify or neutralize the reality of the characteristic, this characteristic of the King, the characteristic of sovereignty, if a person does not negate or neutralize the reality of this characteristic of sovereignty, then they will be given insight into witnessing the reality of the names and characteristics, which, yani those names and characteristics, the reality of those names and characteristics, which, if a person, yani nullifies them or invalidates them, then they invalidate the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they deny it. Yani there are certain characteristics, the person who invalidates them or neutralizes them, negates them or invalidates them, then they also negate and invalidate and neutralize the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, the true King, the one whose kingdom is perfect, it will not be except for one who has these characteristics. Yani the characteristics of the true King, whose kingdom, whose sovereignty is perfect and complete, he has to be hayyan, living, qayyuman, yani self-sufficient, samiyan basiran, hearing and seeing, mudabbiran qadiran, yani in control, managing the affair and having the ability to do so, mutakalliman, speaking, amiran wa nahiyan, commanding and prohibiting, مستويًا على سرير مملكته, yani risen above, high above the throne of his kingdom. Yani the true King has to have such characteristics. So a person who negates these characteristics, then they have negated the true sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the one who sends his messengers to the furthest places of his kingdom with his commands, the one who is pleased with the one who deserves his pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the one who deserves his pleasure, and therefore he rewards them, and he honors them, and he brings them near to him. And he is also the one who is angry with the one who deserves his anger,
And therefore he punishes them, and he humiliates them, and he removes them, he distances them from him. So he punishes the whoever he pleases, whoever he wills. And he have mercy upon, this is the king, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the one who punishes whomever he wills. And he is the one who has mercy upon whoever he wills. And he gives to whomever he wills. And he brings near to him whomever he wills. And he distances from him whoever he wills. And he is the one who has a place, a home, Dar Azab. And a place of punishment, that is the hellfire. And he has Dar Sa'ada, a place of good fortune, and that is the Jannah. This is Maliki Yawmiddin. So whoever abtala shay'an min dhalika, whoever invalidates any of these characteristics of this true king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maliki Yawmiddin, whoever denies or rejects the reality of these characteristics of the true king, of his sovereignty, then this person has belittled or degraded his sovereignty, the sovereignty of Allah, and negated or nullified its perfection and its completion. And likewise, whoever rejects the generality of his qada and his qada, and his divine decree and executing it, then this person has rejected the generality of his kingdom, his sovereignty, and its perfection. And the Shaykh goes on, yani, and next time, inshallah, we'll continue with the saying when he says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and some of the meanings of this statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. And let me just say that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, either Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn Qayyim, I think it's Ibn Taymiyyah, I read it about 15 years ago. I was in a masjid in Medina, I'm sorry, not in Medina, in Qatar, and I was waiting for my wife, who was being delayed in some place. So I went to a masjid to sit in the masjid and wait, and I found this book, and I started reading it while I waited for about 2 hours. A whole book written on this subject, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This should give us some of the magnitude of this statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and what it entails, and what follows, the great supplication that we are all in need of, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And inshallah we'll turn to this next week, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.